Hari Hari Krishna Radha Kala Chanjidam. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is September 25th. How do they say it? In the year of our Lord, 2017. And it's always a wonderful opportunity to read from the scriptures and to learn in the process, because that also takes place. So this helps me. This helps me, and hopefully there will be some light shed on some particular topic this morning through the mercy of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, and transmit it through me as a vessel so that it can assist someone in some way in their lives. Very happy to have all the assembled devotees, those that are seen and unseen. Always. We're never, ever, ever alone. That's always good to remember. But before we cover Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, and I understand it's Chapter 17, Text, I believe it's 13. I'm not quite sure, but we're going to go with it anyway. We like to get the mercy of our parampara, Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, all the Vaishnavas, and of course, Radha Kalachanji is constantly giving mercy. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, 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 Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Kivanadari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Kivanadari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Kirivanadari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Kirivanadari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jara Ranjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jara Ranjanan, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jara Ranjanan, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Radha Madhava Kunjabiha, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivadadari, Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivadadari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Tira Vanachari,
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararandranan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararandranan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararandranan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararandranan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Hare Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Hare Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Nitai Goro Haribo, 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 Nitai Goro Haribo, Nitai Goro Haribo, 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 Nitai Goro Haribo. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premananda. So, Hare, Hare Krishna, everyone. Always thoroughly appreciative of those that are assembled here. It can be an austerity for some, probably for most of us, because there's so many commitments that we have in life. And sometimes devotees find it challenging to be in the morning programs. I can definitely relate to that. I believe we covered from what Prabhu is. We're on verse 13. Mm-hmm. Oh, Prabhu. Oh, of course, of course, of course. I'm sorry, what did you say? We can just chant?
Well, you can just chant the verse.
Yes, yes, yes.
We probably can't
memorize. Absolutely, absolutely. But before we go into text 13 from Canto 11, and that's chapter 18, we always need the mercy of the Vaishnavas, Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnana Timarandasya Gnanjanan Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha. It's born in the darkest of ignorance. It's my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my most respectful obeisances to my spiritual master. And this morning I'm going to read the text. Just going to read it, and then we can do the word for word together. And isn't this amazing how Krishna arranges it? Because actually, I read text 13 because I didn't see a purport for text 12. So it's all good. What do the kids say? It's all good in the neighborhood. It is definitely all good. And as I said, I'll read. And then we'll do the word for word. Ishtvayato padeshamam tatvasava swamritvaja agnitswapranya avesya nirapeksha parivajat Ishtvayato padeshamam tatvasava swamritvaja agnitswapranya avesya nirapeksha parivajat Ishtva yato padishamma tatvasavam swam ridvajay agni swaprana navasya nirapeksha parivrajat. Word for word. Ishtva, having worshipped, yata, according to, upadisham, scriptural injunctions. Mam, me, dattva, having given, sarvaswam, all one possesses, ritvaja, to the priest, agnin, the sacrificial fire, swapranye, within oneself, avesya, placing. It's good. It's good, Prabhu. It's all good. Placing. Nirapeksha. Without attachment. Parivrajat. One should take sannyas and set off. Having, translation. Having worshipped me according to the scriptural injunctions and having given all one's property to the sacrificial priest, one should place the fire within oneself, thus with the mind completely detached, one should enter the sannyas order of life. Wow. Having worshipped me, as Krishna says, according to the scriptural injunctions, and having given all one's property to the sacrificial priest, one should place the fire sacrifice within oneself. Thus, with the mind completely detached, one should enter the sannyas order. So, looking at the previous text and this text, it's always good to remind ourselves the purpose of the Vanashram system. And it really is to benefit society, the social system in society, the best way possible according to one's own nature. Now, in the past, it has sometimes been misunderstood in different countries. And
even though it's a caste, caste system, it is not the system that most of us were brought up to understand in our history books, where one is identified according to one's position in life. And they particularly stressed on the worker, the sutra. And even to this day, I would imagine it's still misunderstood in places like India and other places, where one that performs the work, which we must have, society could not function if we did not have people that worked. And in the Vanashram Dharma, the sutra, for example, is a position, and it's very nicely described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I like the description because it's the correct description. Not only in India, but other countries believe that certain groups should be subservient to others, you know, egos. So it wasn't just India, but in India, the caste system is most identified in that way. But in the scriptures, in text 19 of chapter 17, I like the description of sutra because as you read it, as it's being read, you'll understand that it is one of, let's see, it is a very good, it is a very honorable position because one of the highest services that Krishna considers from his devotees is that It is not so necessary that one serve him, but it is very important that one serve the servant, his servant. So, in essence, this is what the sutra does, and he does it very nicely. Not discriminating, but the description in chapter 17, text 19, reads as follows. Just so that we understand the proper description of a part of the Vanashram Dharma system or the caste system. And this is the this is the translation. Well, let me read the text too. The shloka. It's very important too. Susrushananam dvija gavan devanam chapi amaya tatra labdanat santosha sudra prakritayas twima. And what it says is, and it's describing the sudra. Service without duplicity to the brahmanas, cows, demigods, and other worshipable personalities, and complete satisfaction with whatever income is obtained in such service are the natural qualities of the sutra. And as I said, I'm just using the sutra as an example of the system. When the entire social order is functioning properly, and this is important too because it all boils down to the proper function of the social system. When the entire social order is functioning properly according to Vedic standards, everyone is happy and satisfied. Although the sudras are to be satisfied with whatever income they obtain through their service, they never lack the necessities of life because the other orders of society, such as kshatriyas and vaishyas, are required to be abundantly generous, and the brahmanas are well known for being the most merciful of all.
Therefore, if all social classes obey the Vedic injunctions, there will be a new and blissful life for the entire human society under the guidance of Krishna consciousness. This is the way it should have been looked at, you know, in the past. But I just remember very little was mentioned about the caste system, but when I heard it, I always remember that there was a group of people that were treated totally inferior. That's why knowledge is power. That's why the scriptures are powerful. That's why it is very important to come to the understanding that the Vedic scriptures are about the organization of life and about the process that it takes to go back home, back to Godhead. And it's perfectly, what is it, perfectly complete. All of it, perfectly complete if we could just understand it. No problem with asking questions. Never follow anything blindly, but the truth is there. In text 13, it talks about the order of sannyas. Now, the Vanashram system is set up social order and religious order. The religious order, let's see, Vanaprast, sannyas, brahmachari, grihastha. The system is set up in such a way that it's kind of like a graduation process. You go from one particular duty or activity to the next. And it should never be backwards. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of the topic, but it should never be backwards. There was another example I wanted to use, but let's just use the Vanaprast for example. In the scriptures, it is also stated that when one is ready to retire from life, the Vanaprast system is the retirement form for devotees. Now, that position was controversial recently. What was it? Well, let's just say controversial, because if I say when, then we'll know who made it controversial. But in that position, a man is, it's okay for a man to leave home and to leave his wife and family as long as they are well taken care of. Now, this worked perfectly previous to Kali Yuga. Otherwise, we wouldn't be reading it. And I take the scriptures according to how they are, because I have had proof in the truth of the scriptures. So I honor them. And I know that it worked at some point in time. Nowadays, it's a little difficult depending on the family. And the family, the description of the family varies. And I believe we covered this before. It could be a single household. It could be a husband and wife household. Thank you. It could be the husband and wife household with the children. Sometimes you have daughters, all daughters. Sometimes you'll have an older daughter and a younger son. But in the sannyas system, if there is an older son, then it's okay to leave the home and leave the wife in the care of the older son. I remember reading regarding some of Srila Prabhupada's speeches that he gave, and I don't know if it was in one of his books, or I keep a daily calendar of Srila Prabhupada's sayings, but Srila Prabhupada mentioned that at that time in life, one, it is probably normal for most of us to, for devotees to take
vanaprast, if the wife, or let's say the partner, could be the husband, could be the wife, if they are favorable to assisting the partner in devotional process, then you don't necessarily have to leave them. They can come along with you. Even in the past, they were taken with their husbands into the forest. So, yes, this is controversial. Some people like to stick to the letter of the law. But the nice part of about Srila Prabhupada is that he seemed to have covered all the what-ifs and what would happen if this happened, this happened. And the things that stuck with me is, if you can't do this, do that. For example, if you can't live in the dham, if you can't live in the temple, assist the devotees in the temple by way of buying bhoga. Assist the devotees that are preaching. You can do that financially. Chant. Read. No hard and fast rules. There was always some way to serve Krishna on the path to the realization that we are not who we think we are, that we really belong somewhere else. Srila Prabhupada set it up so that we were not, what do they call this? There was a phrase going around, you're either in the box or out the box. Never understood that, but I know it fits in the business world. But Srila Prabhupada set it up in such a way that you weren't boxed in. There was always something that you could do. There was always another way. And the other point that sticks with me, and it helped me get to this point in Krishna consciousness, is his time, place, and circumstance. I believe it's very important to go according to the scriptures, the foundation of the scriptures. In Kali Yuga, sometimes we have to make adjustments for ourselves. In other words, in order to get through Kali Yuga. And that's why I'm saying that, to say one of the biggest issues at a particular point in time was that in vanaprast, you just left the wife and that was it. It doesn't necessarily have to happen like that. But getting back to the system that has been set up, in text 13, sannyas is mentioned. Now, sannyas is the renounced order of life where you don't really have any material desires or hankerings for family life. That is usually set up for sannyas and vanaprast. But in this age of Kali Yuga, we're not necessarily seeing it this way, but remember, this is the way that it is set up. And in the renounced order of life, one is to practically give up everything. When I read the beginning of chapter 18, I thought there is probably no way that one could live in the United States or any other country if they went according to the beginning of chapter 18. Now, in a different you, yes, you could have done this. And just to give you an example, it was talking about, you know, taking the flesh of an animal and using that as clothing. And in the right mindset, yes, you could do that. You could live in the forest. You could ground your grains up with your teeth. You could eat fruit that's been, that's ripened. To let you know how intense it was, I'll read it, but to also let you know, this was set up to let you, just to give you an idea of how serious it is that we go through the process of defining particular orders of life so that it can run like a well-oiled machine. And that's the way I look at the Vanashram system.
according to each category. Let me read this, and then I'll go on to the rest of the topic. And you tell me if you can see yourself in Texas, in any particular locale in Texas, even out, and I think we still have the boonies, and I think the boonies, isn't the boonies where it's like way out there and it's like very difficult to get to? Even in the boonies, I don't even know that one could attain to this lifestyle. This is, and I'm not saying we shouldn't understand it, but time, place, and circumstance, this is our foundation, so it is necessary that we understand it. It says here in the description of the Vanashram Dharma, one who is taking to the Vanapras stage, and it'll go to the sannyas also, one who is taking to the Vanaprastha stage of life should leave his wife at home in the care of his sons, or else take her along. Well, yeah, okay, so we did graduate to that. And with a peaceful mind, spend the third quarter of his life in the forest. He should accept whatever food, whatever bulbs, fruits, da-da-da-da-da. I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that with the scriptures. Whatever fruits, bulbs, roots, and so on that grow in the forest. Taking sometimes grains cooked by the fire and sometimes fruit ripened by time. Here's the part. Furthermore, he should take as his garments tree bark, grass, leaves, or the skin of a deer. Also, here's a part. It is prescribed that he should perform austerities by not cutting his hair, beard, or nails. Nor should he make any special attempt to remove dirt from his limbs. He should bathe three times daily in cold water and sleep on the ground. During the hot season, he should stand beneath the fearsome heat of the sun with fires blazing on four sides. And really, the fifth side is from above. During the rainy season, he should stand in the midst of the downpour of rain. And during the cold winter, he should submerge himself in water up to his neck. Here's a catch. He is absolutely forbidden to clean his teeth, to store food that he has collected at one time, to eat at another time, and he is to worship the Lord with the flesh of animals. Now, we're talking about a different time and space. I'm just saying, if any of you know any place in Texas where one can get away with doing this, tell me now. I'm trying to make a point, but I'm not trying to beat you over the head with it, to understand that even in the scriptures as they are, time, place, and circumstance, if people did this now, you know how many people that are sitting in rehabilitation mental institutions that probably have done these things, and people have thought that they had lost their capacity for sanity. But there was a time where there was such intensity to the seriousness of a devotee that this is what one did. How fortunate we are that now we have the scriptures, which will and are to be our foundation always, but we have also been given instructions for those that have taken diksha by our spiritual masters and by Lord Chaitanya, who has given us probably one of the most simple forms, and it should be considered one of the easiest forms of devotion, of purifying ourselves, of going back to Godhead with the Maha Mantra. So we have been given this Maha Mantra to use to get the end result that Jiva's reached in a different time and a place. Some of us have been present in certain circumstances in the country where one will take Krishna consciousness so seriously, and you have to be careful when you come into the movement. You have to be very careful that you understand the seriousness of it, because it is nothing to play with. You have some devotees that come in and they are gung-ho. Serious, very serious. They're taking everything according to the word. You know, not giving on anything and not trying to fit it into where they are, because we all come in at different places into Krishna consciousness. Some, I've noticed that some devotees, I do not believe in being sexist, but I've noticed that some males will come in as brahmacharis and they'll figure at very young ages that this is the life for me. I'm never going to associate with a female. And they go through to the point where they want to renounce. Some have even gone to the point of becoming sannyas. Now take the weight of whatever comes with this. But some have gone to the point of becoming sannyas. And then you get to the point where you decide, I changed my mind. I think I want a family life now. That's not the way this was set up. And the point that I'm trying to make is that when you understand Krishna consciousness, when you understand the system that has been set up, the social system as well as the religious system, please do pick your duty properly. Don't just automatically think, this is where I'm supposed to be. Get a feel of it, because you don't want to go backwards. I mean, it's confusing to the psyche, to the mind, to go from, you know, an elevation of... all of them are elevations, but from going to sannyas and then deciding you want to take family life. We're human. Krishna allows for us to make indecisive decisions. So I'm not trying to be condescending, because I'm not perfect. I'm just saying, understand that sometimes unless you are certain of where you belong in the system, the Vanashram system, it is best, it can be best to talk to your guru, a senior disciple, or someone you respect. You know, get an understanding, depending on your sincerity, as to whether or not you should be... Brahmachari, nothing wrong with that. Grihastha, not a single thing wrong with that. We have children around here. You have to bring some lives into the world. If at a point in life you feel that you want to retire with or without a wife, vanapras, it's okay. Sannyas is serious. It is a very serious duty. But keep in mind that in all of these positions, even when you first take diksha, it's like an alarm goes off and Maya picks up on, here's a soul that's trying to do the right thing. Let me see if he's worthy of Krishna. So whether you're brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprast, or sannyas, you're going to be tested. And it seems like the more you graduate, the more the test is. Now, in the scriptures, it mentions, and it's for most, it's probably best, when you reach the stage of sannyas, your association with females should be minimal. But as a guru... at some point, you have to associate with females because your devotees,
your disciples, some are going to be females. And what I've noticed, and it's a very good practice, is that when a sannyas has a conversation with a female, they usually have another attendant there. That's proper. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But the very fact that the scriptures have given us a life style and instructions on how to live our life is very important. We should take to it. We should understand it. But we should also make sure, as I said again, that we are where we're supposed to be. I know that one example they used as far as, was it the social system where you can kind of change back and forth? Brahman, da-da-da-da, Brahmana Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. Yes, when just to go off track a little bit, it's okay in the social system that you switch positions from time to time. Actually, a Brahmana should not take orders from anyone and serve only Krishna. But there may be times when there's a situation where the Brahman needs Lakshmi. So it's okay for the Brahman to take another position. Maybe you want to work for the government. What is that? Is that Brahman? Okay, Vaishav, Rihas. Okay, help me out here. Which one is?
Let's say you want to be a leader.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Sorry, getting a brain freeze. Exactly. Exactly. That's the point. Thank you so much. But in the time of an emergency, yes, you can switch. A Brahmana can be, as you said, take up a sword or be a merchant for a particular period of time, only for a period of time, until that emergency passes, but go back to where you're supposed to be. But a Brahmana should never be a sudra. It does not work like that. And as I said, this bears understanding. It also bears the commitment of a devotee to read the scriptures so that you can understand exactly how the system is set up, how it works and why it works, and where we all fit in at a particular point in life. And in the scriptures again, in text, oh my goodness, did I actually read the purport? I don't even know if I read the purport. Maybe I did. But going back again to text 13, where Lord Krishna says, and we're talking about sannyasi. And I can only give so much instruction on this because it's based on what I've seen. Yes, Prabhu? Did I miss it? Oh, good, because I'm on a roll right now. Let me read the translation again. Having worshipped me according to the scriptural injunctions and having given all one's property to the sacrificial priest, one should place the fire sacrifice with, that's the part that I was stuck. It's like, what? The sacrificial priest, one should place the fire sacrifice within oneself. Thus, with the mind completely detached, one should enter the sannyas order. Okay. One cannot maintain, purport, one cannot maintain the sannyas order of life unless one gives up all materialistic association and engages exclusively in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. That is a requirement. Any material desire will gradually prove to be a stumbling block in the prosecution of renounced life. Therefore, a liberated sannyasi must vigilantly keep himself free from the weeds of material desires.
which surface principally in the form of attachment to women, money, and reputation. One may possess a beautiful garden filled with fruits and flowers, but without vigilant maintenance, the garden will be overrun by weeds. Similarly, one who achieves a beautiful state of Krishna consciousness takes the sannyas order of life, but if he does not vigilantly and painstakingly keep his heart clean, there's always the danger of relapse into illusion. In my mind, I had already gone through this. I had just not said it out loud. That was the point where I said, whatever order you're in, you're going to be tested by Maya. You're absolutely going to be tested. And that is why it is important that one understand their order of life and take it seriously. To go a step further and to elaborate, which I think gets people, because if I don't stick exactly to the scriptures, you know, I lose some people, but I like to break it down so that it is understandable, even to me. But as a sannyasi, it is a very serious position. As a brahmachari, as a grihasta, as a vanaprast, unless we maintain our strict rules and regulations, and pretty much they're the same across board, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, it is really serious at that point with, not that it's not serious with the others, but as sannyas and vanaprast, because when a husband and wife take to renounce order of life, they're mainly into the devotion. You know, that is the ideal situation, because you're preparing the soul for an eventual transition at some point in time. As a sannyas, though, I could imagine that it is very heavy. And you really have to be selected. That's why no one can just come and say, I'm a sannyasi. That may be why sometimes people misunderstand movements, religious movements and organizations like ours, because people have come in the past and taken up positions of guru and sannyas, and they've used it for their material and sense gratification. That is not the way the system was set up. There is an order to life. There is an order to what we do. And we cannot ever say that we were not given instructions. If you've come to an ISKCON, Krishna conscious temple, and you are sincere, you will have the benefit of instructions on how to progress very nicely through your life. As a matter of fact, Krishna is so merciful that he'll give you whatever you think you need. If you just want to come here for the prasadam, he'll give you prasadam. So it's all about growing up in with our identities, and understanding our spiritual identities and our responsibilities in life. We're not just to come through here and take advantage of all the sense gratification, the money, all the opulence, the nice food, the sometimes weird and wonderful weird associations. Can't say that's wonderful, but there is a method to living, And when you are ready to hear it, Krishna consciousness is one of the best processes for going through this material life and handling any possible situation that you can come up with. And the Lord has already understood it because it's already explained in our Vedic scriptures. And that's the part too. How can someone explain things that are going on in our lifestyle and not be like us? That's why I couldn't understand why people don't understand that God is a person. How can you have these entities, these individuals that are humans? And I'm probably way off track here, but it was just a thought. How can you possibly be who you are and not come from someone who is similar, who is a person, who has already thought out everything that you could possibly do, but he's given you instructions on how to stay on the right track? I know there was more to it, but I wrote a lengthy talk, and I wanted to make it a little bit shorter today because we had an absolutely fantastic, wonderful weekend of Vyasa Pujas. As a matter of fact, we went through it so quickly, I don't even remember the weekend. And I like that because we were around devotees all the time and the mood was wonderful. And I had a great time. And I'm sure you had a great time. Lots of you had a great time. Didn't have to take any intoxicants. Didn't have to do anything illicit or illegal. And we had a really great time. That's what this is about. It's like one long party. So, please, those that have not taken Krishna consciousness seriously, at some point, do take it seriously because you'll get to a point where you can understand it. You'll have a really nice relationship with the Lord because we all have our own individual relationships. And when you finally grasp that, it's like nothing else can replace it. It's almost hard to stay in the material world when you understand how much love the Lord actually has for you, how much he gives to you, how much he wants to give to you, how available he is to you. We're here to understand, one, where we went wrong and ended up here, but who we really are. And when you stay in Krishna consciousness and go through the rules and regulations, instructions, understanding, reading, chanting, hearing, and come to the understanding that you are part and parcel of the Lord, that you are part of the Lord, that you have a relationship with the Lord. And when you understand a little bit about that relationship, that's the point at which you should never let go the lotus feet of your guru or Lord Krishna, because it is blissful at that point. I sometimes feel that, but I know that there is even more that I haven't experienced, but we'll end at this point and we'll open up for any comments or any questions. Or any realizations anyone wanted to discuss. But as I said, we were describing the Vanashram Dharma and describing the position of sannyasi. So any comments or any points of interest?
Thank you for a wonderful class, as usual.
Krishna Chaitanya, yes, Prabhu.
I'd like your point about being careful about picking your position in Varnashram, because ultimately it is your choice. I mean, especially in Kali Yuga, we're not so much guided by family of origin or being pressured into a particular position. Most of us, I would say maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but most of us are kind of free to pick our position, you know. And but then, under the guidance of the spiritual master,
mm-hmm.
we can state that, you know. And of course, if the spiritual master is extremely familiar with the disciple and they're very close, then it might be easier for the guru to just say, yeah, you should do this.
True.
And there's different styles of teachers, etc. But mm-hmm. I think it's very important that you mentioned that we have to take a very deep assessment of ourselves in order to be positioned right, because, as you said, Maya will test, and we have to be prepared for the long haul. It's not a short, quick ride to transcendence, as I thought it was in the beginning, for example. So I appreciate the introspection that's required, you know, to find a solid position and then stay there and, you know, hunker down for the storm if
yes.
required, even.
Hunker down
like
for
you
the
said,
storm.
That Maya will test. And sometimes I forget that Maya will test. I just think that, well, Krishna is giving me mercy now, so everything's going to be great. Right?
One of the biggest misunderstandings. Because after each test that you actually pass, then you rise to the next level of understanding. You're graduating constantly. And especially when we think that we've got it all together and I got this. Maya's got you. So, as they were saying, you know, weeds creep up, so we have to constantly be on guard all the time. And if you have a spiritual master will directly guide you to, yeah, this is where you are to be. This is where you're supposed to be. And I've also read, trying to remember, which nectarian book it was, but it's kind of like when you get a spiritual master, he already has an idea of your identity, and he kind of, how do they say, he picks the suit that you're supposed to wear. They already know. Already know. And actually, sometimes that's the best way to understand where you're supposed to be. But granted, there have been times when devotees have come into the movement and not accepted the instructions of the spiritual master, which is where you find fall down sometimes, because people did not listen. And I remember a phrase a long time ago regarding leaders: the best leader is one that can follow. And in Krishna consciousness, you'll find that you do have to follow. And there is nothing degrading about following anyone. There's nothing demeaning about it. As a matter of fact, there's a strength and there's an humbleness that one gains from being able to take instructions from someone that one knows is their senior or a bit more advanced in their knowledge. But yes, it is important that one pick their position, their duty properly, so that you don't go back and forth, so that you don't get through life as from time to time we'll find it where people get to this serious point in life and it's like, oh, I didn't play enough, so I'm going to go back and take this position. It's very important. And fortunately, when one is serious enough to consider these things, like the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Krishna will present who you need to be around, to talk to get advice from. So you should never be at a loss. Never. Good point, Prabhu. Very good point. Thank you so much. And I'm really appreciative for anyone that comes in the morning, because there's so much going on in the world. Even though we may not be directly involved in it, it affects our consciousness. And sometimes it makes our senses dull to the point where you talk about, unless we're unless there are other extenuating circumstances, if you talk about coming to class in the morning, it's a bit of a challenge. So it's admirable, you know, Prabhu. Also, thank you for coming also. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. So we'll end at this point. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premananda. Hare Krishna.